Several weeks ago, we began a series on the reformation of the family. We're very much aware, all of us, of the sadness that we see around us as the family is literally disintegrating. And so we felt that it's timely that we bring a series on the reformation of the family. Reformation meaning change, drastic change, and that's what is needed in our day. The family is under attack. Marriage, having children, raising children, sex is being perverted in the minds of our children. There will be a price to pay. Now, we've emphasized in the matter of marriage some things that are helpful in terms of your marriage relationship. One of those things that we emphasized was to the husband, know your wife. Literally, study to know your wife. Peter says, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Do you really know your wife? I mean, really. How much have you thought about that? How much attention have you given to that? Now, that's extremely important in the marriage relationship. But then, children come along. Now what? We have a responsibility to train our children according to the precepts of the Word of God. Now, if I were to ask you at random, just throw the question out, what passage of Scripture would come to your mind this morning as we sit here having to do with child training? Well, I hope that you might think of our text, Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. Dear people, this is foundational to the training, biblical training of children. There's more to this verse than what meets the eye. Look at it. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, we pointed out the vital necessity of understanding your child, knowing your child. The literal rendering of this verse in the original language would be something like this. Please listen carefully. Train up a child according to his individual bent. And when he is old enough to make his own decisions, he will not depart from it. That says a lot. In fact, there's a lot of doctrine and theology packed into those words, as they would be in the original language. What is this telling us? Dear ones, it's telling us that each child is born into this world with what we're going to call an individual bent. And have you discovered what that is? Do you know what it is? It's called the sin nature. That's the individual bent of every person born into this world. Bent. The picture actually is an arrow that is pulled back, ready to be launched in a certain direction. And that child is like an arrow pulled back, ready to be launched in a certain direction. And it's called original sin. It's called remaining sin. Do we have any evidence of it? Oh yeah, we do. What about Cain? What about Cain? First son, murderer, killed his own brother. How did that happen? I mean, sin hardly had a footing in those days. Oh, yes, it did. Into the heart, into the being, all born as sons of Adam. The scriptures teach that due to Adam's original sin, the entire human race is born into a condition of total depravity. Amen. Now, the first step in knowing your child is to come to grips with the reality of the fact that he is born with a sin nature. It's his nature to sin. Amen. How many times have I illustrated this? You don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to say, "Johnny, come in here, sit down. Dad's going to teach you how to lie." You don't have to do that. You don't have to say, "Johnny, come in here. Dad's going to show you how to have a temper tantrum. How to lay on the floor, kick and scream and foam at the mouth." They know that. It's built in. It's the bent. Train up a child according to his individual bent. Recognizing the sin nature. And this is a rather startling statement, but it is nonetheless true. And that is, every child born into this world is at some point capable of committing any sin that any person has ever committed.
Amen.
That's sobering reality. And you say, "Pastor, I want to successfully train my children." You do? I'm glad. But listen, you have to come to grips with the way that that individual child is bent. And learn how to deal with that and not pour gasoline on the fire. Because soon enough you'll have your hands full. More than you will ever realize. Now, I want us at this point to begin to give some consideration to the fact that a child is not only bent in the direction of evil, sin. But thank the Lord, the child has also bent with certain gifts and talents and abilities that in and of themselves are good. They can be perverted. They can be misused and abused in a very sinful way. But God has been pleased to bend our children and give them certain graces, certain abilities, certain talents. Now I want you to turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. The first five verses of this psalm deal with the omniscience of God. All-knowing. God knows everything. God knows everything. And this portion of Scripture deals with it. Verses 7 through 12 describe the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere. You can never be where God is not. And that truth should be a real source of encouragement to the true believer. Now, interestingly enough, in verse 13, we have the word for. Why should God be so interested in me that He knows what I'm going to think and knows what I'm going to say before I think it and before I say it? Did you hear the question? Why should God care about that? He knows what you're going to think before you think it. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. But why should that make any difference to God Almighty, the Creator of the universe? Why should He have any concern at all? Can you answer that? Why is God so interested in me that everywhere I am, He is present? So interested in me that He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Do you know how to answer that question? Here's the answer. Because He was interested in you from the very moment of conception. That's why. Why shouldn't He be interested in all of these other realms of life? Thought life, speech life, present here and there. Why should God Almighty be concerned about any of it? Because He was concerned about you in the very second conception. And if He's interested in you in the very second, the very moment of conception, why wouldn't He be interested in your thought life? And where you go? And where you don't go? Don't you think that would interest Him? Actually, the Scriptures teach that God was interested in us before the moment of conception. But for the purposes of our study, we will deal with the interest from the moment of conception. Look at Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. See that word form? F-O-R-M. The word form is a Hebrew word that literally means erecting. It speaks of something being formed or even built. You might read the verse this way, for thou hast formed me. The King James says, thou hast possessed my reins. That's an unusual word. The Hebrew word that is translated reins refers to an organ of the body that was created for a specific purpose. And that's why the New American Standard translates the word inward parts. Are we beginning to get at least some idea of the intricacy of God's knowledge and involvement in that embryo? That people want to destroy? Hebrew word used there, joined together or knit together, literally, thou hast formed my particular organs and knitted or joined them together. Again, dear people, I repeat, for your spiritual edification, to spend time thinking about why God should be interested in me right now as you sit here. Why should it make any difference to God? Now, as we move further on in verse 15, we see my frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret. The literal rendering there would be, my bony structure was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. The word made, it refers to making something out of something that already exists. And our word there would allow for the pact of heredity. So, we could read it. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made from a substance already in existence. And then we see the word secret. It's a Hebrew word that describes a protected place, such as the womb. In order that the child may be safely cared for until brought forth to birth. Now, there's another exceeding important phrase. It's found in the King James, curiously wrought, or skillfully wrought, has a different number of meanings. Literally, it means embroidery. You ladies, you're familiar, are you not, with embroidery, tapestry, fine needle point work, artistic. That's what we're dealing with here. So what do we have when we put all this together? My skeleton was not hid from thee when I was created out of existing material in the protection of the womb, as in the depths of the earth, and fabricated as embroidery of different colors and fine needle point. How about that? You see what's taking place? God's creative order. You need to know that. You need to be very, very much aware of that in the training of your children. What a miracle is taking place in the womb. Now, we have the description for us. I'll look at the word written. Thine eyes did see my unformed substance. Thine eyes did see the embryo, and in thy book all thy members were written. Think about that. The word could be better translated, described. God determines every detail about each individual before the conception in the womb. And we need to think about that. If you're going to understand that child, at least be knowledgeable of that. God is the determining factor. What does He determine? He's going to determine whether that person is going to be tall or short. And that's going to make a big difference sometimes in training your children. A big difference. God is determining whether that child will be born with every member of his body, complete or not complete. And that's going to have a lot to do with the way you train your children. Whether he's going to be born perfect, as we say, certainly a relative term in the day in which we live, or if he's going to be born with some defect. As far as God is concerned, my dear people, there is no such thing as an accident of nature. God has determined his eternal plan, the kind of person each individual is going to be, even in relation to his physical body. If these verses of Scripture mean anything, they mean that from the time that the child is conceived until the child is born, God is watching over the process of growth and development. You need to know that. You need to be aware of that, because that's what you're holding in your arms. All of it. Well, we have other matters that we could deal with. We have the matter of afflicted children. Of course, in John chapter 9, the disciples ask, Rabbi, who sinned, that this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? The Lord Jesus said, it was neither that this man sinned or his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. Fanny Crosby. Are you familiar with the name of Fanny Crosby? Do you realize that she wrote hundreds and hundreds of hymns? Do you realize that as a very, very, very small child, she lost her eyesight? Instead of becoming bitter and rejecting God and His will and purpose, she wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of wonderful, wonderful hymns that we sing. God had a purpose, and that purpose was displayed in a unique way. Isn't it amazing how God blesses each of us with different talents? I've never really illustrated anything like this in any of my preaching for the past 67 years. But I feel inclined to do so for your benefit. I work with men in jail. I work very closely with these men in jail. I get to know them and their abilities. We've been talking earlier today about God creating us, and that we're bent because of Adam's sin, but we also are bent in the direction of good abilities and talents that are amazing. And I'm going to show you that they're amazing. Because I'm going to ask Michael to come and take this drawing. And he's going to walk around with it in a moment, but just hold it up for right now. That was made by a prisoner by the name of Joseph. He wrote and asked me one day for a photograph of my wife and I. And in a few months, this is what I received. It is a pencil drawing, intricately done. He's never had an art lesson. Where did that come from? How could he possibly look at that photograph and give the detail that he's given there, catch the glimmer of light in the eye, and the fine definition of the hair? And I'm going to have Michael walk close enough to each of you so you can take just a few second look at it, and then we'll have it in the back. What am I saying? I'm saying, dear people, that's the creative work of God in a man's life. That's where it came from. So, help yourself. Just kind of walk around. It's pretty amazing to think that he could do that. And I use that just kind of like a vivid illustration. My dad played the trumpet, piano, and organ. Never had a music lesson in his whole life. But he knew how to do it. He was talented. Where did that come from? God's goodness and mercy manifested in that. So, how do we conclude? We conclude by saying, know your child. Know your child. Train up a child. Helter skelter, jerk them up anyway. Drop them off at the daycare center. My granddaughter Hannah, last year we'd come home from working in a daycare center, heartbroken. And what she would see every day is parents come and drop off their puppies at a daycare center. And they want to call her mama. And she had to say again and again, I'm not your mama. I'm Miss Hannah. Sad. Sad, sad state of affairs. What does that verse mean? Train up a child in the way he should go when he's old. I've quoted this before and we'll do it again, probably and again. The common meaning somehow over the years got to mean if you just get that kid in Sunday school every Sunday, when he gets too old to get around except in a wheelchair and an old folks home, he'll come back to the Lord, though he lived a wicked life beforehand. There's no comfort in that. What you want is a trophy of God's grace. Living and serving God, glorifying Him. And it's not going to happen just because you're lucky. It happens because you train up a child according to his individual bent, good or bad. When he's old enough to make his own decisions, he will make those decisions according to the way he has been trained. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray that you will somehow take these words and write them upon our heart. What a marvelous thing life is. A never, never dying soul. Write these truths on our hearts for our good, for the good of the coming generation. We ask and pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.